Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 135 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. Well, I'm here alone for the recap of the Women Tell All. And I mainly did that because typically the Women Tell All, first of all, is hard to recap, really. And second, often it's a bit dull. And so I hate to say it. I said that last week about the the fantasy suites. But I think the Women Tell All depends on the season. But in my opinion, they don't focus enough on the things that are quite entertaining, and they get stuck too deep into the personal stories that don't end up being much of anything. So the hot seats, basically, I think the hot seats are boring, to be honest. Even Maria's wasn't that groundbreaking this episode, but I guess let's start at the beginning. Also, since I don't think this is going to be that long of a recap, I'm also going to go over Love is Blind just a bit, little bit, and including the reunion episode, because I feel like there's way more to talk about on that reunion than there is the Women Tell All. So let's begin by, so they started with the bachelor parties, like the viewing bachelor parties. And the best part about this is, I don't know why they always do this, because it's fixed. It's obviously planned. It's obviously not like a big surprise or anything. I don't like this. I wish they wouldn't waste time on this. I'd rather see a complete whole segment on bloopers. That's what I would rather see, a whole entire segment on that was as long as these viewing party things. Jesse and Joey, I thought, were kind of funny on this. I did enjoy them, but in general, I think it's a whole waste of a segment. Either that, or they need to just condense this down to just 1 hour and not 2 hours, you know? So then we get back and we get all the women. And this was the best part of the show. In fact, I was texting a couple of my friends that watch The Bachelor. I was texting Miranda and I was texting Emily at the same time. And it was hard to keep up with, because they were just going hot at it at each other. And primarily, it seemed like it had to do, all of it had to do at least somewhat with Maria, as we probably guessed, because so much of the drama was centered around her for no good reason most of the season. But they started out with the whole Medina and Leah, the whole thing with Medina saying she was old. Well, I guess it started with Medina saying she was old, and then Sydney tattling to, let's see, how was it again? I don't even remember. Anyway, Sydney tattling to somebody that Maria is bullying Medina because she's saying she's old. That whole thing, whatever, it doesn't matter. They addressed that, but they were definitely going back and forth quite a bit. Then we get to where Leah came and sort of scolded Medina, because once Sydney got kicked off, she thought it was not nice of Medina to still be friends with Maria, because she was apparently Team Sydney when Sydney was still there. And that's when we all remember how Medina had the perfect comeback to Leah, which was basically like, what are you saying? I can be friends with Maria, be nice to Maria, and still be friends with Sydney. I mean, they're not mutually exclusive things. So they addressed that. What I observed from this whole thing was that I think Leah felt like a big fat idiot when she watched the show back. And I think that she mentally prepared herself for this Women Tell All to try and defend herself or minimize it or apologize in her own way. And I think that she must have gotten some hate as well, which they discuss later, but not Leah, but the hate thing, which was terrible. But anyway, I think Leah felt ganged up on, but I also think she felt just super embarrassed and when the segment ended, I don't know if you noticed, but they showed her walking off like with the producer and she was crying. I think in the end, she just felt so stupid and she couldn't like do it. She couldn't like stand up to them all and try to defend her actions because she knew they really were not defendable. And so she couldn't hack it in the end because really we didn't hear much from her the rest of the time. God bless her. Like, I don't blame her. I'd probably be the same way. I'd be like, you know, it when you're in the bubble of The Bachelor, it's easy to probably act one way and feel like you're on your soapbox or feel like you are definitive in the way you feel about something. But then when you watch it back and you're met with people coming at you with, what are you doing? You probably feel like an idiot. So I feel like that's where Leah was coming from. But when they come back from commercial and Leah comes back and she was kind of crying and wiping her eyes, Maria, which obviously speaks to the kind of person she actually is, sees her crying and is like, don't cry. I feel so bad. Let's like, this is not worth it, which I feel like is the perfect mentality. Like, this is silly. In essence, this women tell all we know is to bring up every peak of the drama in the whole season, because that's what it always has been. The little fighting back and forth, which took place, of course, on this episode, but which is a little bit catty when you think about in reality, all this was filmed, what, probably at least 6 to 8 months ago. And you know good and well that, I mean, I know they're watching it back, so they're sort of reliving it, but it actually happened very long time ago. And as Maria said to Jess later on the show, I thought we were good. And I feel like a lot of them probably were sort of good with each other, and now they just bring it back. I don't know. It just seems like a weird thing to have to go through. And I guess that's true of any of these reality show reunions, because the same is true with Love is Blind. Either way. But Maria goes up to Leah, hugs her, and is like, let's let bygones be bygones. Everything's good. So then we get to the Maria and Jess conflict. They go back and forth. It's clear that the girls are taking sides. It seems like most of the girls are on Maria's side, but then there's a few that are sort of like Jess, Sydney, Leah, and then I forget who else was up top there that was sort of sticking up for them. Taylor maybe was on like the opposite side of Maria. So they just, whatever, they had their little, it was fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. It was fun to watch. It was entertaining. I was like, man, this is going to be a good women's haul, because also I thought Maria definitely held up her Maria-isms and she had great responses to everything. She could defend everything. She could rebut everything. I think she possibly went on it a little bit too strong. Like, I did agree when Jess was trying to talk and Maria kept interrupting her. I know that's tempting to do that, because if what the person is saying is not correct, you want to like interject and fix it. But I felt like she probably, for the show's sake, should have just let Jess talk and maybe not got quite so passionate about it. The one thing I did deduct about the Maria thing is I would be shocked and floored if they do actually make her the Bachelorette, because I do not think that they would have the Bachelorette go off like they let Maria go off. I don't think that would make a very interesting and entertaining Bachelorette. But I just don't think, if you look back at history with all the Bachelorettes, that they're ever going to do that. Hannah Brown was supposed to be like the most like, you know, like feisty Bachelorette there was. We had Caitlin Bristow too, but I still think they sort of got more of a Bachelorette edit in their seasons. I just don't think they're going to make Maria the Bachelorette. I wish they would, but I just don't think that they would let the Bachelorette go off like they did. I'm curious if they're going to announce the Bachelorette also at the finale. I hope. So anyway, then Lexi's the first one to get the hot seat. She talks about her endometriosis. She talks about how she had so many DMs. She like had tons of DMs, people that have went through the same thing and are, you know, she felt like she developed a platform and that meant a lot to her, and she got emotional. And I mean, I don't know. Honestly, Lexi got a bit of a bachelorette edit, I think. But besides this endometriosis thing, I think that she might be a bit boring as bachelorette, but I could maybe see her as a bachelorette. I do not think they'll do that, but I also wouldn't totally hate it. Because she also has the storyline of like, you know, I want to find a man because I want to start a family and blah, 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 blah. So she's got that narrative going for her that I could see her being the bachelorette more than them making her the bachelorette more than them making Maria the bachelorette. Then we get the Jen. She gets the hot seat. She turned me off in her hot seat. I felt okay, one place that I think they waste so much time as well is with all these flashbacks. Their flashback lasted longer than their time in the hot seat with Jesse. And you know, I don't need to see the flashback. You were kicked off. I don't really care to see your journey with Joey. To me, that's the most pointless minutes wasted on this show. Is I'd rather see those stupid bachelor viewing parties than those recaps or the flashbacks. I just think it's unnecessary to waste a time. She didn't really have that much of a story to tell. She was just the fifth one to get kicked off. Like, a big deal. I don't know. And she even seemed a bit not rehearsed, but you know, she came back and they made it seem like she had tears in her eyes from watching it. And I didn't believe the tears. I didn't believe her being upset. I believed that she figured out a way to get upset in the hot seat because she was on national television. I truly don't believe that she's really upset anymore at all. Whatever, it's fine. She'll be good on Paradise if they have Paradise. I hope they don't have Paradise. Then we get Maria's hot seat. This is where I noticed that they really brushed over the Sydney thing, which amazed me. Hang on, I gotta take a drink. So sorry. Dead air time. I think I'm gonna have to stop for a second. I'll be right back. Sorry, I swear to God. I swallow air and start coughing. I do not. What is wrong with me? My family, and this is not something to joke about, but my family's like, you are totally going to die from choking. Please God help me not die from that. That would be absolutely horrible. But I choke on everything. I drink water and I choke. I think it goes down the wrong pipe, whatever that means. But just now it was a tickle in my throat, but I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway, it sucks getting old. Where was I? The Sydney thing. So, I mean, they had a whole 2-on-1 date. That was the premise of at least 2 full episodes, if not 3, was the conflict between Maria and Sydney. And they had a whole 2-on-1 date with it. Haven't even had a 2-on-1 in a while. And they just really breezed over it. And so back up also at the end of Maria's hot seat. I mean, they talked about her date and it was just general stuff. They came to the conclusion that she in the end just knew that they weren't right for each other, blah, 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 whatever. But in the end, Sydney ends up saying something to the effect of, you know, when I watched it back, I was embarrassed, or I didn't like how I looked. I didn't like how I acted, and I feel bad and I'm really sorry. She apologized to Maria, and Maria in 2 seconds accepted the apology. She went up and her, Leah, and Sydney all hugged. They agreed, and Maria right away says, you know, this wasn't supposed to be about anything, but like, you know, I just want us all to be empowered and to, you know, be supportive of each other, all that. So they ended up completely resolving all that. I truly think it's that was for real on Sydney's part. First of all, I thought she looked way better in this. And maybe it's because she was nicer. Maybe that is true. Maybe there's something to that. But I thought that I loved her look way more in this Women Tell All than I did in the entire show. I don't know what was different exactly, but she was prettier to me in the Women Tell All. But she has a boutique, and I wonder if she didn't get like some hate. I'm sure she got hate because she said she did, but I wonder if she didn't get hate and it affected her business for her boutique. And she either on her own and or with producers decided that, look, this is not worth it all. I'm not going to make my business go down the drain because of it. And decided that it was absolutely not. Maybe she made a deal somehow with producers, like, let's not focus on this storyline. But because it was so odd to me, because really the Leah thing was way less focused on than Sydney and Maria. And they focused way more on Leah than they did Sydney. So it was very odd to me how they brushed over it. But I do feel like that might be part of it, was Sydney being maybe so embarrassed with how she acted that she begged the producers to just, because maybe they did talk about it. It's very, very possible that that was all discussed and that they decided to cut it all. Because I always hear that this taping of the Women Tell All actually takes like 10 to 12 hours to tape it. And they just cut a bunch of it. So that's possible. Anyway, whatever. I kind of like how they resolved it. I mean, it was a little anticlimactic, but I like that they all resolved it and supported each other and were, you know, whatever. Okay. So then we went back. Then we go back to the show. We go back to Tulum where Kelsey leaves the note for Joey. This part also, I'm convinced that that was not Kelsey's idea, is to leave Joey a note. I also 1000% believe that even if she was going to leave a note, she wouldn't say, we need to talk. Everybody and their brother knows that if you leave someone a note that says we need to talk, they are only going to think the worst. I truly 100% believe the producers told her what to write because they know Joey's insecurities and they're trying to make a better show and make more drama here at the end. They also were trying to make us believe that he wasn't going to pick Kelsey because Kelsey scared the crap out of him with this note. And I truly think that that was all raw feelings that we saw from Joey. I do not think any of that was for the cameras because he did that lip quiver thing again. When he was talking to Kelsey about how much that scared him when he read that note, like his lip was doing that quiver thing when he was talking, like he was about to cry. And I know exactly what that feels like when I'm about to cry and your lips start to quiver. Like he was doing that. And I felt so bad for him. And obviously Kelsey did too, because she said it like 5 times. About how bad she felt that she did that. And really what she wanted to say was, producers, F you for making me do that. That was not nice. That was mean. Why would you make me do that? Because it also was so dumb. I know that they had to have made her write that because she went in there and all she really wanted to tell him was, I miss you. And I just wanted to tell you that I can't wait to meet your family. Really? That's why you're going to write on a note. We need to talk. We need to talk because I need to tell you I miss you. What? So it was so dumb, but I felt so bad for Joey. Why? They've done so good with this so far this season is to not looking like you're trying to torture your lead. Well, this was torture for poor Joey. Damn it. So they cover all that. We have the rose ceremony. It was no surprise that Rachel ends up going home. He gives the rose first to Daisy, then to Kelsey. So then we go back to the Women Tell All, and then Rachel and Joey are in the hot seat together. I thought that they were we all knew, I believe, that Rachel was going to go home. And even when they were on the couch there at the hot seat, I don't think Kelsey was really that upset. because we know what she talks about a couple minutes later, I don't think she was any more at all still upset about going home. And they even were joking around when Joey came out. They were joking around. And, I thought they seemed like really good friends. And that's what I think they were the whole time. But then she starts to talk about how on the hometowns, like after the hometowns, she wakes up to all of this, all of these hate messages that had a lot to do with race and culture. And, you know, I don't know. I'm assuming that most people that listen to this podcast are not those people. I sure hope not. But if you are, or if you have friends that are, please shake them. And what is the matter with people? I cannot comprehend in my mind. I know I criticize stuff on this show. I criticize stuff the producers say. I criticize little idiosyncrasies that the people have, but none of it is out of hate. And never in a million gajillion years would I even comprehend being able to go on their personal social media and spew hate that has to do with race or culture, or telling them they need to like kill themselves, or any of the other god awful things that people say to these girls or guys or any of these reality shows. I just think it's ludicrous, and it blows my mind that there are people that are so, I don't even know what the word is. Do they literally have nothing better to do in their lives? Do they are just filled with hate because of something else in their own lives? Are they, I don't know. I don't know what makes people do this, but I think it's shitty. And I think it's cowardly. It's cowardice. It takes a coward to do it. It's just mean. I don't know. So I was really, really felt bad for Rachel, because she absolutely, as Miranda told me when we were texting, or maybe it was Emily, but she literally, I think Emily said it. She wasn't even the villain. Like you could even see, like I can't see, but you even understand why people are doing it. If like the person is having an edit that makes them be a villain or makes you want to hate them or not like them. But Rachel was nothing but nice on this show. She was never even remotely close to being the villain. Not at all. And it shocked me when she came on, and also that it was after the hometown. So I guess it's because of her family and the things that they were doing, you know, that were specific to her culture and all of that. But what is there to be hateful about with that? It just blows my mind. I can't stress enough how much I don't know what it accomplishes. I guess that's the other thing. What does it accomplish? By spewing hate to her directly, how does that make you as a person feel better? I just don't understand. I don't understand. So that was very sad to hear. And I hope, and Jesse addresses that a lot of the women got a lot of love, but that this season apparently got more hate than a lot of seasons have. So I don't, what is going on here with my computer? Thank you. He said specifically they had a noticeable rise in hate on social media. And that actually does surprise me a lot, because I thought this was a really, really good group of women. And, you know, they had villains, but I don't know. It was more a love to hate thing. I don't understand how or why there was an increase in hate. Maybe it was just in general, because this season had a lot more viewers than prior seasons. Like it was one of the most highly, had one of the highest ratings, viewership ratings than The Bachelors had in a really, really long time. So maybe that just comes with increased, you know, by sheer odds because of the number of people that are watching the show even increasing. But either way, it sucks. So then we come back and we basically have just a bunch of Joey accolade and everybody, you know, giving credit to Joey, which was fine because Joey's been a great, great bachelor. They had a few silly little blooper things, but they had the like official bloopers when they came back for the last segment, which I thought The funniest two were the first two, when Maria had the battery or her like microphone thing like slipped down into her ass. She said, "My battery's in my ass." And he was like, "Thanks for telling me that." And then she gets up and she's looking at the producers and she's like, I don't know what to do right now. Oh, that was so funny. And then whenever Joey couldn't say Minneapolis, I found that quite humorous too. Because there's words I can't say. It's really hard for me to say regularly is really an effort for me to say that word. But they can't ever have enough bloopers. So then Jesse has Joey leave and he tries to tell us that he had him leave before the big finale at the end of the show because he didn't want to have to make Joey relive it. Oh, sorry, but that makes me laugh because, I mean, obviously that was, I mean, bullshit. And that was for shock value for the previews, because you don't think that Joey, when he goes on social media or is even watches TV ever and watches these shows, that he hasn't seen that preview reel run like a million times. So I just found that humorous that they tried to tell us that he, you know, like he had to have Joey leave because he didn't want him to relive it. Okay. Of course they leave making it look like Joey gets in the car by himself to leave. And then they show the podium with one rose still sitting on the podium. Okay. So I don't know. Maybe he doesn't leave with anybody. Maybe it's super possible he doesn't. I'm really, really anxious. I don't know. I really think it's going to be Kelsey, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he leaves with nobody. I think that the shot of the rose on the podium obviously can be taken out of context. My goodness, they could have just taken that shot from, you know, any time during the show. So that means nothing. Him getting in the car technically could have even been him getting in the car to go to the rose ceremony. I don't know. I'm very, very anxious to see how this ends. So I'll say that it almost looks like they spoil it, because that's what they are wanting us to think, is that he leaves by himself. But we shall see. So yeah, that was the Women Tell All. So before I get a little bit into Love is Blind, I just want to, so next week for the finale, I'm assuming that it is going to be on from 7 to 10 as it usually is. Oh, what was the deal with the Oprah thing on at 7 o'clock tonight? I mean, what? Why in the world wouldn't you have the Oprah thing on at 9? Why would you have, they just messed us all up. They made me have to stay up another hour later to do this podcast, and I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, don't they think of Reality of the Rose? I mean, please. Thought that was weird though. I really thought that was odd. Oprah really has some pull, I guess. But next week, since it is going to go till 10 again, and I don't want to make Emily stay up super late. And if it suits her schedule, I have to get with her on this yet. But what I would like to do is just watch the show Monday night, and then record the recap on Tuesday to release it Wednesday. But Emily is going to recap the finale with me. And I am also going to get a few of her thoughts on the Love is Blind reunion and probably more. So stay tuned for that. Okay, so now Love is Blind. So the reunion, several things that I've talked, it seems like there's a little bit of a debate as to how people thought of the reunion or what they thought of the reunion. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I could watch, it was like an hour and a half, a little over. I could easily watch 2 hours of it. I thought it was good and entertaining. There were some people that thought it was way too long. The things that I wished they would have focused more on is the whole Chelsea Jimmy thing. I was shocked at the amount of time that they did not spend on those two, because to me, there was definitely Team Jimmy people. There was definitely Team Chelsea people. She was, I feel like, pretty polarizing. Some people loved her. Some people hated her. I'm sorry. I don't want to use that word hate. Didn't like her. I wasn't really either. I just didn't like her, you know, neediness. I felt like she had to watch that and go, oh my word, why, you know, calm down. Did not like how whiny and how she just kept having to be validated over and over and over and over and over again. He could never do anything right. But with the big arguments that they had on the show, I really thought that they would talk about that more. I thought, especially the way Vanessa Lachey is, and she just comes out and says stuff, I thought she would sort of call Chelsea out on some of that in some form or fashion. And I thought they took a lot of the airtime up with Chelsea and Jimmy during the show and just didn't think they spent enough time on them. I definitely wanted to see more Jimmy Chelsea recap of their time. And I, you know, not sure. And it can't be because they didn't get married, because the only couple that got married was Amy and Johnny. And we barely saw them because they had no drama and there was nothing to show except, you know, their birth control issues. And that was about it. The Sarah and Jeremy thing. I'm not convinced that. I'll be very curious to see if they last, because supposedly, you know, they've been together this whole time. Chelsea tends to, or on the reunion, she says that every time she sees them, they're broken up. And I'm wondering if they didn't stay together for entertainment value and for the sake of the reunion. Miranda sent me a couple of TikToks. I'm just not on TikTok that much, so I miss all of this stuff. But she sent me a couple TikToks of Sarah Ann and how God, she's a bitch on her TikTok. She just seems very bitchy, but she also seems super rehearsed and she does not seem authentic or genuine whatsoever. Her TikToks feel like she practices them many, many times before she does them. And the ones that I've seen are supposed to just be like her talking to camera and, you know, supposed to be being spur of the moment. But it does make me feel like they are, because Vanessa also called her out on the TikTok where she is saying something like, you want to be entertained? Well, you're entertained, or however she said it. It does feel like that's what she's doing, but I do not like her vibe on TikTok at all. She seems very condescending, very holier than thou, very high opinion of herself in a not in an empowering way at all. I just don't care for her at all. I don't like her vibe. I thought she was her and Jeremy. I thought they would come on the show maybe and be a bit more apologetic than they were. I think it was really shitty that basically as of the time they left each other on those jet skis that they were together ever since. And just think, I do think Laura, even though I think Laura had her faults as well, I think that it is kind of shitty on her part to think that, you know, you're with someone that you're supposed to be marrying, you're engaged to, and then like in an instant, he's riding off and leaving and with Sarah Ann, who was his other choice in the pod. I don't know. It feels icky. It feels, it does feel contrived. It does feel like pick me, or like maybe not pick me, but attention seeking, because they, you know, like if you want to be classy about it, then just leave the show and then a couple months later, start dating. You know, why do you have to be so in your face with it? I just think it was crappy. Don't really believe that when they like met up in the whole location on thing that they didn't at least have a heavy makeout or something. So yeah, they were interesting. The weirdest part though was Trevor. Like that whole thing with Trevor coming back. Okay, so one part of me though has to say, I don't know. If I were him, I probably wish would have not come back, because he was just like mutilated. But part of me has to admire him for even coming back and taking it. I don't think he made himself look better whatsoever. I think that if he just would have come on and said, look, I was a douchebag. I did a douchebag thing. I came on for the wrong reasons. I shouldn't have. I mean, he said it to an extent, but not to the extent he should have said it. And the awkward silence when Nick sort of asked, you know, like, about this other girl, like this this girlfriend he had, and they showed the text messages, and there was like the what felt like a 17-minute silence. It was so awkward, and that they didn't even try. No one tried to fill the silence. I was like, what is happening? Are we going to ever talk again? What I had to like not watch. I had maybe not want to watch. But it was like he didn't know. It was almost like he did. Well, I guess he kind of said that he had something rehearsed that he wanted to say, but then after seeing that, he didn't know what to say. I almost believe that, but I don't know if the pause was for drama sake and it was on purpose. Whatever it was, I don't think he redeems himself at all. The excuses that he tried to come up with, like that he and this girl's relationship was toxic, but yet you'd come back and ask her to marry you, and it was just all so bizarre. However, I will say that I thought that Nick giving him that little speech about being there for the wrong reasons and ruining it for everybody else on the show that is actually there to only find love was way, way over the top. Like, way over the top. Because obviously, they're all there a little bit for the wrong reasons. I will never believe that anyone goes on a reality show about dating in any form or fashion strictly for love. You will never say anything to make me believe that that is true, especially in this day and age. No possible way. So they all are coming a little bit for the wrong reason. And granted, his was an extreme situation. I get it. But for Nick made it very clear that it was like singling out Trevor, and he was the only one that at all came for the wrong reasons, which I thought was ridiculous. And it felt like he was scolding a 3-year-old. I didn't like how that it was like a scolding. I did not like that at all. No matter how much of a douchebag Trevor was, I didn't like that. And then for him to go, because Trevor asked if he could leave. And I think that's when Nick gave him that speech. I don't know, something like that. But then Nick's like, now you can leave. I just didn't think that was a good host. I don't think that's really what a host is for. I just didn't like that at all. I just felt icky to me. Whatever. Call me. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion or not, but I just didn't like the way that was handled. I think you could have just said, you know, thanks for coming on, Trevor. You can, you know, you're free to leave or whatever. So that's that. AD and Clay. I really wish they would hope that eventually they get back together. I did listen to her on Nick Viall's podcast, and she did his podcast literally the day after the reunion taped. She made it pretty clear on that episode of Nick's that she and he are not together at all, that they are really good friends. She even hinted to the fact that they may have been, they're flirty friends is what she called them, that they flirt a lot when they're together, but she made it pretty clear that they were not together and she had no intentions of getting with him again. I think maybe he's just got a lot of work to do, possibly. She also clarified a few things on Nick's show. She said that what we didn't see in the edit was that, you know, because my perspective, and I think I talked about this on the show, was that I had to commend Clay a bit, because if he really didn't feel it, it would have been the wrong thing for him to say yes at the altar. So people's criticism were that he took her all the way though to the altar, you know, and didn't turn her down without, you know, having her friends and family there. And my rebuttal to that was that it's the show. Like, that's kind of supposed to be what you do, is you don't know, or are you going to say yes or no until the very last moment up at the altar? I mean, that's supposed to be the whole show. So like I got that part, but I get in real life that that is going to hurt a lot, especially, you know, like if with AD, who is so sure, but she tells us that on Nick's podcast that she told him many times and it wasn't aired that, look, I totally get it if you're not ready. And I really would like you to just tell me ahead of time. I can take it. Believe me, I can take it if you don't take me to the altar, but you just tell me now that you're just not ready. I totally understand. There will be no hard feelings. It'll whatever. And that he completely understood that and knew that that was important to her. And so that's why it, I guess, hurt a little bit more, because, you know, between the two of them and on a personal level, she felt like she was maybe owed that by him. But, you know, so I mean, I get it. I totally get it. I'm going to pause for just a second because I'm about up with my 30 minutes. I'm never going to have time to completely finish. So I'll be right back. Okay. So just to wrap it up, I guess. So anyway, sorry, not to wrap it up quite yet, but I thought Clay handled himself very, very well at the reunion. I thought that he was the perfect amount of apologetic and explanatory about how he felt. He was extremely complimentary of AD. He completely took accountability on his part of everything. He all but said that he would love to have another chance with her. I just think they are the cutest together. I really like Clay. I honestly do. I get that he needs work on himself, but who knows? Maybe they'll end up together. So I really liked them. Kenneth and Brittany, was that her name? that was all interesting. I've heard some rumor because there was that little TikTok of her, like right before the reunion came out, of her saying, like zipping her lip and turning it with a key and then throwing the key backward. And then Kenneth walking out of a closet behind her and catching the key. And I took that as like, oh, guess what? We're back together. But some people are saying that it is like him literally coming out of the closet. Maybe. I don't know. That's some people's conspiracy theories or guesses as to what exactly that meant. And I don't know if that, I don't think that that's come out since I have been on social media, but because they aren't together. She said they talk every single day though, and they're like super, super good friends and they talk and FaceTime every day, but that they don't, but they're not together and didn't sound like they have any intention of being together. So that would, I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know why he would go on Love is Blind, but Colton Underwood, that was a little bit later. It wasn't like literally, of course, that was filmed a year ago. I don't know. So I guess we'll see. But I thought they were really cute together and I thought they seemed like really good friends. He, you know, addressed a little bit like the phone thing, how he was constantly on his phone, but he tried to excuse that, you know, I'm a principal of a school and I have been out of touch with my students and staff and parents and everybody for that long. I just really needed to catch up with them. But I mean, we all know that it seemed a little bit excessive. I don't know, either way with them. But Jimmy and Chelsea, I don't know. They just didn't address it all enough. They talked about the Megan Fox thing. They kind of just joked about all that. All of those other couples being on, like the successful couples so far, you know, I couldn't decide what I felt about them being there. I guess it was okay. It was like a little weird that they had them ask this season's contestants questions. I don't know. I'm not sure how I felt about that. It was fine, I guess, just to see some of those couples together again, even though they had Gia and Blake on, since he's not from Love is Blind, but I guess she's iconic. He's from The Bachelor. They're together. I guess I had to have them on. I do think I'm for sure going to, Jess was on. I liked her. She is so stand up. I love her. I really love her. She is drop dead gorgeous, but doesn't come off. She seems so real and so genuine and just authentic and just a person like I would want to be friends with. I just love her aura. I love her vibe. I love her way she articulates things. I don't know. She's great. I'm definitely feel like I'm going to have to be watching Perfect Match because her and Micah from, was that last season, and Izzy, isn't that his name? They're all three going to be on Perfect Match. So I feel like I want to watch that. Definitely. It's apparently had the best ratings of any Love is Blind season ever, which I completely understand because it was by far for me the best season I've ever watched. And I've only not watched season one. Really loved it. They cast it so well. I thought the people that they cast were wonderful. The other thing I wanted to point out that I thought was kind of funny is that, like, they always say for the wrong reasons, you know, and how dare you, blah, blah, blah. But, like, obviously the opportunity that they get from being on the show is high a lot, and they get quite a bit of opportunity because of it. And a great example of it was, what's her name? The couple that was still together from, was it two seasons ago? I completely can't remember her name now. The blonde that was a little bit like whiny, Kwame and Chelsea. Was her name Chelsea? But she announces that she has a job now with Love is Blind doing casting. And I was like, oh, that's convenient. But, you know, there's no opportunities. There's no reason to be on Love is Blind other than to find love. Ironically, she did find love and a job. So that worked out well. But I thought that was kind of funny because he just gave a speech about, you know, wrong reasons. And then she's like, oh, I got a job with Love is Blind. I think that's about it. The next reality show after The Bachelor is I don't know when, because we haven't heard any obviously air dates, but we know we have a Golden Bachelorette coming up. I'm sure we'll have a Bachelorette coming up. We haven't heard about a Bachelor in Paradise yet. So I don't know if they're filming any of those things right now or not. But I'm hoping that they announce some of that at the finale on next week. Is there anything else? You know, I haven't scrolled my Reality of the Rose Instagram much this week at all. Work has been really busy, so I don't even know if there's any big news in Bachelor Nation. So I'll have to check that out. But anyway, thank you guys so much again for joining my podcast again this episode. Please join me next episode when I have Emily with me to recap what happens, who's he going to pick, what's going to happen. I can't wait to find out. In the meantime, I would love it if you could go give me a 5-star rating. Give me a review. I have little polls on the Spotify platform. If you listen to it through there, that it allows me to put up, and I do that every week. So go take those polls so I know you're listening. Hit subscribe, follow my Instagram page, all of those things to do that you do to support a podcast that you love. Let's see what today's Bible verse is going to be. let's see. Okay, this one is James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So thank you for listening, and I hope that everybody has a great week, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.